Human League and Love Action to start the hour. 60 minutes past 8, the full English breakfast show. A fugitive Italian gangster's urge to show off his cooking skills has landed him in jail after 7 years on the run. Italian police tracked down Marc Ferrin Claude Biatz, who's 53, through the culinary videos he'd uploaded to his YouTube. While he carefully hid his face, he failed to disguise his body tattoos. The alleged member of the Ndrangheta crime gang was arrested in the Dominican Republic last Wednesday and has now been extradited back to Italy. Apparently, he'd been leading a quiet life in the town of Boca Chica. He'd been on the run since 2014 and was wanted by police for allegedly trafficking cocaine into the Netherlands on behalf of the mafia. The Ndrangheta is considered to be one of the world's most powerful organised crime groups because it controls most of the cocaine entering Europe. The alleged clan boss, Luigi Mancuso, who's 66, known as the Uncle. Other members go by nicknames such as the Wolf, Fatty and Blondie. There are 355 alleged mobsters and corrupt officials who've been charged after a long investigation into the group. During a pre-trial hearing, it took more than 3 hours to read the names of the defendants. The charge sheet includes murder, drug trafficking, extortion, money laundering and dodgy cooking. More than 900 witnesses are expected to give evidence of the trial, which opened in January and will last 2 years. Any plans to start a YouTube cooking channel, Sarah?
Oh, I don't know. I'm quite good now with the
Are
chili.
You?
Well, you got a gift from Rumble yesterday,
chili,
and
sorry,
I used mine last night. I didn't even tell Charlotte what I had, and she said, "This is delicious."
Yeah,
my secret chili number 5.
Thank
Excellent.
You, Rumble. Yes, I forgot to mention that he gave me some lovely sort of chili sauces yesterday. So enough to blow your head off.
No, they're very good, easy to use, and a wide range. You can go with anything, hot or cold, and it's perfect. I just don't tell my daughter that that's what I use to to make my cooking.
What did you make last night then?
Well, it's only like a chicken chili.
Chicken chili
sauce, yeah.
What ingredients?
With rice and spinach, fresh spinach and
one
rice.
One chicken and a jar of chili sauce. That was
and
it,
Rumble's
was it?
Chili number 5, yeah.
Yeah, whenever I hear the name Chili number 5, of course I always want to play this.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mambo number 5.
Should I? No.
No?
No, not really. No, in fact, not at all. On this day... Oh, no, hold on.
Hey, what?
Yes. On this day in 1963, which 16-year-old recorded her breakthrough hit...
Helen Shapiro.
No. Oh. Produced by Quincy Jones, which went on to be a US number one and led to media calling her the teen queen. In the tale of this song, the lead character's birthday party doesn't turn out to be a happy occasion.
Gore.
Yes.
It's my party and I'll cry if I want
exactly.
to.
Exactly. Question number 2. On this day in 1991, this British singer-songwriter started a 5-week run at number one in the UK with the one and only, who am I referring to? The song also featured in which film, which he appeared with Roger Daltrey?
Cliff Richard.
No. And the song was written by the 80s singer Nick Kershaw.
The one and only, rings a bell.
I went to the premiere of this film.
Did you?
Yeah.
You have to tell us all about it then.
No,
I
can't.
Know. What is it?
It's, you don't know at all?
No.
You don't know who I'm on about?
It rings a bell.
Oh, come on, it's Chesney.
Oh.
Yes, from the film Buddy. No?
No.
Don't remember it? Okay. Buddy's song was the film. And finally, it's this English guitarist, singer-songwriter's birthday today, born on this day in 1945. He quit playing the guitar at the age of 13 because it was too hard, but fortunately he picked it up again. He's a 3-time Rock and Roll Hall of Famer. And he wrote this particular song in 1976 while waiting for his girlfriend and future wife to get ready for a night out. They were going to a Buddy Holly tribute that Paul McCartney put together.
Eric Clapton.
Yes, it's his birthday today.
Wonderful tonight.
Well done.
It's his birthday, isn't it? It
certainly is.
Yeah. This is one of your favourite songs, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's late in the evening, etc. So I give her the car keys.
It gets me going every time, this one. Yeah.
Really?
Do whatever you want.
Night night then.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Or 10 to 8 within the UK as Mr. Potts is. Hi.
Beautiful sunny day in the UK. Absolutely glorious. It was marvellous Monday yesterday. Restrictions were lifted. The golf clubs were full. The tennis clubs were buzzing. And the swimming pools outdoor were full. bathing in this beautiful sunshine that is England. What a wonderful country this is.
So did you have a few last night then, did you?
I didn't have a single drink yesterday, it had to be said. So no, I didn't. So I did manage to play 9 holes of golf from around 6 o'clock into the late evening air, which was absolutely beautiful yesterday.
Of course, get your priorities right, you know. Don't worry about Mrs. Potts putting the kids to bed and everything. You go out and play golf.
That was absolutely joyous. Golf and missing bath time. How wonderful is that?
Right, so markets, a bit jittery really because of this Archegos Capital story.
Yeah, US stocks dropping from record highs yesterday as investors consider the fallout from the forced liquidation linked to the Archegos Capital Management. The financial sector weighed on markets on reports that likes Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley liquidated holdings for the family office after it failed to meet a margin call. Investors were demanding higher costs to hedge against losses on the debt of banks that have been caught up in the situation. But actually, the risk of contagion still looks pretty low. Systemic risk still looks very low. Very much focused on the banks involved, the funds involved. S&P 500 closed flat yesterday. NASDAQ was up 0.6%. Dollar did strengthen a little bit, but 10-year yields continued to push higher. In Europe, actually, the Stock 600 extended its recent gains, in fact, hitting its highest level in 13 months. Beyond the hedge funds saga, markets focused on the strength of the recovery, aided by the vaccine, particularly in the United States. Lots of data coming through from the US about how quickly that vaccination program is being rolled out. And as the world's largest economy slowly inches towards herd immunity, certainly seen as a positive by markets. Investors also watching out for inflation risk. We get European inflation figures out later today. Likely to see the base effect starting to shine through, perhaps for the first time now, against those low energy prices that we saw a year ago. And President Biden expected to unveil his economic recovery plan tomorrow. So lots for investors to digest, but we are looking at a stronger start on the European bourses this morning. Currently calling FTSE up 30 points. DAX over in Frankfurt up 67 points. CAC 40 in Paris up 21 points.
Yes, I'm sure your comments about contagion being fairly minimal may surprise Nomura and Credit Suisse in particular, but is it Archegos or Archegos?
Archegos? I don't know. Is it the Greek word for leadership? I want to say it's something like that, which feels a little bit ironic in this situation, but I believe that's the origin of the name.
Well, I won't apologise for never heard of them before, and I suppose a lot of people who only take a casual interest in finance are sort of pretty confused by this story. Just explain it sort of in basic terms, if you can.
Well, we've got these hedge funds or family office, I think it was. It's a former hedge fund manager who then formed a family office who built up sizable positions in a number of companies. Initially, I think it was around the US media companies and then very much linked to technology companies, some of which were in China as well. These were leveraged positions and took on a huge amount of risk as a result of that. Then as the market moved against them, particularly I think in Viacom, it was they were forced to make a margin call, which they were unable to do, so provide further collateral or capital in order to continue with the trade. They weren't able to do that, and that forced the banks to start unwinding those positions and liquidating those positions. And given the size of the fund, then that was a significant movement in markets. And that, when you see that level of selling, it can send shockwaves through investors. And we did see some element of that, but not a huge amount. The question is, how much losses will the banks be holding as a result of this failure or this potential failure?
That was very good. You'd be really good on Jack and Ori.
Thank you very
Jack
much.
Jack and Ori with Hank
Janet
Potts.
And John.
Hello, children. Tonight's story is all about reverse credit swaps.
I think that's quite good. I think it's quite good money in children's books, actually. I've come to the conclusion.
Oh God, I don't want to give you any ideas.
I should buy a lot for my children. I think, you know, you bang these out. I don't know how long they take to write.
But finance, you know, for 3-year-olds.
It'd be all right, wouldn't it? It'd be like doing this show.
Yes. Right, OK, let's have a look at the cruise sector, which has been decimated, obviously, by COVID-19 and sort of signs, attempts to refloat it going on, really.
Yeah, very much so. How long will the cruise industry take to recover is the big question. Carnival, the sector's biggest company, said industry won't return to operating at pre-COVID levels at least until 2023. They've permanently retired more than a dozen of its ships during the course of the pandemic. Coronavirus hit the industry very hard, as we know. Series of COVID-19 outbreaks at sea passengers suffered as many ports turned away vessels and tens of thousands of crew members across the industry were trapped on board and had to stay on board for many months. So it's been a really tough time for them. Carnival saying it will have to work hard to attract customers, but plans to have all its ships sailing by the end of this year, although it has enough funding to see it through 2022, even without any revenue. So stronger players doing okay. We wait to see how many people flock back onto the ships.
Derivatives and Other Square Mile Fairy Tales by H. Potts.
You can see a series developing here. It's going to be good, isn't it? Bitcoin.
Once upon a time,
yes,
there
Bitcoin
was nothing.
For believers. Yeah. Once upon a time, someone made $1 trillion out of nothing. How was this achieved?
Foreign exchanges, please.
My little friend in Monaco won't be appreciating this. Pound against dollar coming in at 1.37. Euro dollar coming in at 1.17.5. You're going to get €1.17 for your British pound this morning.
The end. And they all lived happily ever after. Thank you.
Well, not in Bitcoin. Case, but we shall see.
Speak to you tomorrow. Hank Potts, it's 9:03.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online, this is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
I knew it was there somewhere. Good morning, it's 7:31. Here's Sarah Lysett with the top stories across the Riviera.
France has overtaken the number of COVID patients hospitalised in intensive care during the second wave in November, with to date 4,974 patients admitted to intensive care. Figures from Public Health France published on Monday show a sharp increase in the number of patients occupying intensive care beds. The peak of the second wave was reached on November the 16th last year, with 4,903 COVID patients in intensive care. At the peak of the first wave, in the spring of 2020, this number stood at around 7,000. According to Public Health France, 28,322 COVID patients are currently hospitalised. As doctors are calling for stricter measures at hospitals reaching, with hospitals reaching breaking point, a Defence Council meeting with the Head of State and the Scientific Council is to be held tomorrow. It seems likely that the 24 regions of France placed on increased surveillance last week, including the Var, could see stricter measures introduced, similar to the 19 departments, including the Outre-Mer team, which is currently in its second week of a four-week lockdown. Six new cases of COVID were identified on Monday in Monaco, bringing the total number of residents affected to 2,265. 29 people are currently hospitalised and 73 are being followed by the Home Monitoring Centre. On the vaccination front, Johnson & Johnson are to start deliveries of its vaccine to Europe on April the 19th. This vaccine is the first among those given a green light by the World Health Organization, which requires only one injection instead of two, in addition to being able to be stored at refrigerated temperatures. France's mortality rate has increased by 9.1% in 2020 for the first time in 70 years, according to INSEE. According to INSEE, the increase in deaths has concerned mainly people over the age of 70 who are more at risk of COVID. In 2020, mortality in France was exceptionally high and life expectancy fell. A total of just over 668,000 deaths occurred last year from all causes. That's 55,000 more than in 2019. And life expectancy fell by 6 months for women compared to 2019 and by 7.2 months for men. The leaders of 20 countries, the President of the European Council and the head of the World Health Organization are calling for an international treaty on pandemics. The signatories are the leaders of countries spread over five continents, including French President Emmanuel Macron and British Prime Minister Boris Johnson. All signatories, the President of the European Council and the head of the World Health Organization, will present the draft treaty today in a press conference. The treaty aims to lead to a greater mutual accountability and sharing of responsibilities in the face of a pandemic. A YouTube parody of Pink Floyd's Another Brick in the Wall, which calls for the reopening of schools in California, has been shared by France's Minister of Education, Jean-Michel Blanquer, on his Twitter account to express the importance of keeping schools open and face-to-face lessons compared to lessons on Zoom. Originally posted on YouTube on March the 16th, The video titled Another Window on Zoom is a parody of Pink Floyd's hit Another Brick in the Wall. In it, parents and students are singing the song, modifying the lyrics to send the message that remote learning is no longer possible. The video, however, was shot in a particular context, very different from the French situation. Schools in California have been closed for a year and are only starting to reopen by district, with only a few hours per week. In other news, a 30-year-old woman has died in a paragliding accident in Savoie. The victim crashed on Monday evening 100 metres below the takeoff area northeast of Chambéry, an area where paragliding and hand gliding enthusiasts usually depart. Firefighters were called shortly before 7 p.m. The exact circumstances of the accident are not yet known. French MPs have launched a three-week debate on the controversial Climate and Resilience Bill, which is aimed at cutting carbon emissions by 40% on 1990 levels by 2030. The draft law contains the work of 150 randomly selected French citizens who made more than 100 proposals to fight global warming, but critics claim the bill has excluded some of the suggestions. A 65-year-old resident of a nursing home in Châtillon-sur-Charolonne, north of Lyon, has tried to flee the establishment in an ambulance. The incident occurred at around 8 p.m. when the resident hijacked the emergency vehicle while it was parked outside the retirement home. Emergency services and police embarked on a 30-minute chase before stopping the resident, who told officers that she had just wanted to get home. And finally, a business manager in Bordeaux has lodged a complaint against his neighbour due to his rooster crowing in the middle of the night. After several attempts to find a solution, Bertrand Piquier finally filed a complaint after a year of conflict with his 95-year-old neighbour, who had previously promised to build a hen house, but he never did. The crowing of roosters in the middle of the night can be considered an offence, punishable by a fine of €68. If no solution is found, then justice will decide. The two neighbours live in the Bastide district of Bordeaux.
Riviera Radio, sports news.
In the middle of the night, he tried putting a beak around, a plastic rubber band around its beak.
Well, apparently it's the streetlights that are making them do it. The street lighting is having an effect on waking them up and making them roost, so they're trying to get the city council to sort out the street lighting.
Good luck with that. Football Sergio Aguero is to leave Manchester City at the end of the season. Here are the details from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, I'm Paul Serres at the BBC Sports Centre. The West Bromwich Albion winger Hal Robson-Kanu and Leeds United striker Tyler Roberts have been dropped from the Wales squad for tomorrow's World Cup qualifier against Czech Republic. More from the BBC's Mads Faruqi.
Yeah, the Football Association of Wales has released a statement today confirming that three players, so West Brom's Hal Robson-Kanu, Leeds' Tyler Roberts and Rabai Matondo, have all been released from the Welsh camp after breaching protocol. They add that the players will be returning to their respective clubs this afternoon, but wouldn't specify the nature of the breach. But Tyler Roberts has apologised on social media, suggesting that the breach in question was for staying up too late and apologising for that. As our listeners know, it's been a difficult camp for Wales. They lost their opening World Cup qualifier last week to Belgium. And police have confirmed that they are investigating after Rabai Matondo was one of two players racially abused on social media over the weekend after their friendly against Mexico.
Meanwhile, the Wales captain and Tottenham winger Gareth Bale says he'd be prepared to join a social media boycott to tackle online abuse after Matondo and teammate Ben Cabango were targeted at the weekend. The former Arsenal striker Thierry Henry is one of those that's already decided to step away from Twitter and Instagram until various platforms do more.
If everybody did it at once, maybe not just one or two people, but if we had kind of a campaign where a lot of big influential people in sport, in other forms of life, came off social media to make this statement, then yeah, I definitely think it could help. And if that was the case, yeah, I'm obviously all for that.
RB Leipzig's Ibrahima Konate is on a five-man shortlist of central defenders that Liverpool are considering. The French under-21 defender is understood to have a £34 million buyout clause. And for more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Oh, well, no mention of Sergio Aguero at all. It was all about Wales, really. I just thought she was going to say the police are investigating why Wales lost to Belgium. Now, why did you lose last week, lads? Aguero, who signed from Atletico Madrid in 2011, has scored 257 goals in 384 appearances for the club. And the player will be honoured by statue at the Etihad Stadium alongside title-winning captain Vincent Kompany and influential playmaker David Silva. Aguero has been linked to several of Europe's top clubs in recent months, with Barcelona reports to be keenly interested. Why were you laughing? You're still laughing.
I'm not laughing. No, go on. Continue.
Dear, oh dear. Several more European World Cup qualifiers tonight, with Wales at home to the Czech Republic. No doubt the police will be looking into that if Wales lose. Belgium at home to Belarus, and the Netherlands are looking to get their campaign back on track when they visit Minos Gibraltar. Formula One. The 2021 Formula One season started with a bang in Bahrain on Sunday, and experts say Mercedes may have a fight on their hands. The pace of the Red Bull, with Max Verstappen narrowly missing out on victory, is giving Mercedes pause for thought. Lewis Hamilton, who won the race, said he loved every minute of it and is looking forward to more tussles with the Dutchman. There are also signs of great progress for McLaren, with Lando Norris finishing fourth, but Ferrari had a disappointing outing and will need to do much more. Cricket. The hand injury suffered by England fast bowler Jofra Archer was caused while he was cleaning out his fish tank at home in January. Archer had surgery on his right hand on Monday, with reports saying it has been successful. Apparently, the player dropped the tank on his hand and cut it. Surgeons found a small fragment of glass in his tendon, which has now been removed. He'll miss the start of the Indian Premier League, which runs from April the 9th to the 30th of May. Maybe the England and Wales Cricket Board will ban players from keeping fish in the future. And West Indies closed day one of the second test against Sri Lanka on 287 for 7. The tourists won the toss at North Sound and elected to field. Play resumes this afternoon. Finally, rugby union. Scotland's Finn Russell has been suspended for 3 weeks after his red card against France in last Friday's Six Nations victory in Paris. The fly half was sent off in the 70th minute of the match for leading with the forearm into the neck area of Brice Julin. He will now miss Racing 92's game against Edinburgh in the Champions Cup on Sunday. The ban could have been for 6 weeks, but the disciplinary committee said they'd been impressed with Mr. Russell's prompt acceptance that his actions had constituted foul play.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Accelerate Marine.
For coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Almaraz Sea in the VAR, the general situation is an anticyclone, 1,030 millibars over the region. Winds are variable or southwesterly, force 1 to 3. Sea is calm, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat, 1,032 millibars. And the outlook for Wednesday, clear skies, force 1 to 3 variable winds, calm seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are northerly, force 2 to 3. The sea is calm, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,031 millibars. And the outlook for Wednesday, clear skies, force 1 to 3 variable winds, calm seas and good visibility.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Accelerate Marine. For enhanced, high-performing connectivity on board your yacht, speak to our expert team today about our VSAT and 4G packages. Visit connectmyyacht.com.
Riviera Radio. Weather.
Clear skies, light variable winds, temperatures 18 to 21 degrees this afternoon. Overnight lows 11 to 13 degrees with clear skies. Wednesday and Thursday, clear skies, highs of 18 to 22 degrees. Very nice too, finally.
Totally addicted to bass, a new study has revealed that music triggers the same reward centre in the brain as alcohol and cocaine. Neuroscientists in Canada focused on the effect of pop music in the brain using magnetic imaging. The experts found that stimulating nerve cells in the brain's reward pathway led to enhanced music-induced pleasure and motivation in participants. The study concludes that communication between the brain's auditory and reward circuits is the reason why humans find music rewarding.